Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
All right, everybody, Takeover listeners, once again, I want to thank you for joining us. We get ready about a little bit over 24 hours to kick off week 7 of the NFL season. Of course, that is week 7 of the 2015 fantasy football season. Season that started off kind of tumultuous, a lot of injuries this year, but of course, right now it looks like things are starting to normalize and get back into order. I'm the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. Each and every week I bring along with me to take you on this journey from draft day all the way to week 17, because some people still playing week 17. We definitely can do the DFS thing in week 17. Got the homie with me, probably the best in the business, probably. NFFC Hall of Famer, High Stakes Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, Chris McCarroll. Chris, what's going on, my man?
Corey, what's up, buddy? Halfway home, man. Six down, another six after this week, so we're dead square in the middle of the regular season for all our fantasy players, and it's go time now, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely agree with you on that 100%. Like you said, you may have gotten off to a slow start. You may have gotten off to a hot start. But definitely things are starting to normalize now. 4-2, 3-3, kind of where you want to be sitting at this point. If you're 5-1, 6-0, consider yourself lucky. If you're 0-6, 1-5, consider yourself shot. If you're 2-4, got some work to do. You need to run. And we're here to help you do that. Chris, I want to start off with some of the news of the week. First of all, let me ask you this right off the top. Dez Bryant, if I'm not mistaken, was not at practice today. Latest I heard, he's not at practice, not participate. A lot of people this week making trades and buying Dez Bryant. Is that something that you would consider?
Is that something to consider, you're saying?
Yeah.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I mean, you know what, Corey, it depends on what you're getting back in the trade. I mean, if it's a low buy, then yeah, for sure. But I think this is going to be just one of those situations, again, where they threw out that week 7, you know, early, you know, last week, a week and a half ago, that he might be ready for the Giant game. Everybody, all us Dez Bryant owners, I know you have him. I got him on a couple teams. I'm, you know, licking my chops waiting to get him back. It's not going to happen this week, and I'd be surprised if it even happens the following week. They're not going to rush this guy back, especially if the Cowboys could pull off a win in New York this week. I think it'll go based on their wins, Corey, to be honest with you. If they lose this week, maybe he gets back on the field the following week. But, I mean, it all depends on what you're getting offered, Corey, in the trade, to be honest with you. It's definitely a buy-low candidate right now. But I think he's a couple weeks away still.
I agree with you on that sentiment. I still also think he's a couple of weeks away. I know he wants to get out there and give it a try. The team hasn't won a game, you know, since Tony Romo has left out.
Yeah,
I'll
say this. If you're a team that's 6-0, 5-1, and you're in leagues that you could trade, obviously, I'd be more willing to take the chance on it, knowing that you're going to be in a good position, you know, come a week 11, 12, 13, when he's going to be full swing again. If you're one of these teams that's 3-3, you know, middle of the pack, you need to win this week and keep winning, I wouldn't make the trade. I think that's how I would look at it if you're looking to make a trade for Dez Bryant right about now.
Yeah, no doubt, and I agree with you on that sentiment, because I'm just not really big into buying injured players.
I agree.
I just don't see the theory in buying a player who is currently dealing with injury, especially the injury like the left metatarsal. Don't get me, you know, wrong. I'm not a doctor, but we've seen what happened with Kevin Durant. We've seen what happened with Julio Jones 2 years ago. To a man, even both of those athletes have said this is a January thing. if he comes back at all. So those are situations
right.
you have to look at when you're talking about trying to buy on Dez. Yeah, because the wide receiver with a bad wheel.
Yeah, you never wanna rely on a big stud receiver that's fast, that relies on his speed and power. Got a foot, they probably limited snaps. He's not going to be out there every snap. Just like you said, you saw it with Julio Jones the last couple of years with his foot. The foot injury that Dez has is an injury that a lot of other receivers that have had it have told him, don't rush back, because if you rush, you're going to re-aggravate it. That's not something that you want to hear. So he really should take his time. I know he's trying to rush back because he's a real competitive guy, but, you know, he broke it in week one, and, you know, week seven, that's a quick recovery. So I wouldn't be looking to trade for an injured guy right now like him.
No doubt. I agree with you 100% on that one. Now, let me ask you this, Chris. I tell you what, doing the radio program this week and kind of get a beat of the listeners and, you know, everything you do over at Scout Fantasy and seeing the tweets come in. At the Fantasy Exec and at Scout Fantasy, and I'm quite sure you're getting some of them at Chris Mercado GST also. What in the hell is the deal with Eddie Lacy? Okay, we know it's a lingering ankle injury, but this looks like, okay, if the ankle injury is that bad, then don't play him. So fantasy owners know not to play him. This seems like more than an injury. This is just poor production.
It is. It's everything rolled up into one that's just a complete disaster. He's rolling out 3 and 4 points every week now, and it's really bad, Corey. And to boot now, James Starks looks great. He looked really good. You know, Starks looks like what you wanted Eddie Lacy to look like, but Lacy looks slow, got no burst off the ankle. I was surprised when he got hurt in week two that he didn't sit for a week or two, being so early in the season. Especially they know they had a decent backup in Starks that could get the job done. And, with the Packers thinking long term down the road. But, he came right back, didn't miss any time, played on this injury, on this ankle. And you could just see he never got it fully healed. He's running, he's running hurt. McCarthy came out and said that already this week. And now McCarthy says he's going to go with the hot hand, and that's going to be Starks, based off what I've seen all year long. The bye week coming at the right time, though. Maybe Lacy could get healthy and come out of the bye, looking like a different player and kind of salvage fantasy season, the fantasy season for Lacy owners. But, you're already way behind if you drafted Eddie Lacy. You didn't get the return that you were hoping. He was a first-round pick, and you got basically maybe one good game out of him already. So he's already been bombed no matter what happens from here on out.
Another year where the top runners, for the most part, have disappointed fantasy owners. Jamal Charles, off the board for the season. Arian Foster, just getting back, just starting to get rolled.
Yep.
Eddie Lacy, humongous disappointment. C.J. Anderson, humongous disappointment. Le'Veon Bell missed two games, but has got it rolling since. Who else first round season. Running back? Adrian Peterson.
Peterson's been okay. Yes, he's been so-so. He's had a couple bad games. He's coming off a real bad game this past week as well. But, Corey, you could go right through the first two rounds of running backs, and all of them have underachieved. All of them have been bad picks. Jeremy Hill, DJ Anderson, LeSean McCoy. You said earlier already with Lacy, Jamal Charles is hurt. You know, he was doing well before that. Forte's been good. I'll give
Forte has been good. Yeah. You know what? Forte's been good. He's the guy that, for the most part, the industry wasn't on.
Absolutely. Another one, DeMarco Murray. He finally had a decent game this past Monday night, but, geez, you want to be so – pumped up about that Monday night game as if it was like a 35-point, fantasy performance. That was his best game, and it was okay. But, another bust. And, hey, that's That's why. You know, I was talking to a friend earlier, Corey, and we talked kind of about this same topic. And I think from now on, I think the way that we draft, the way I've always drafted, I'm sure you have also, Corey, with targeting the big stud receivers early, I think starting next year, I mean, the way that we draft is going to be completely, you're not going to be able to get away with it anymore. I'd be shocked. I said starting next year, I'd be shocked if anybody anybody goes double running back early. And I'm talking like the first 20, 25 picks, you might see four or five running backs tops. It's just going to be all wide receivers from here on out. The game has changed. The fantasy game has changed, obviously, with it. And the receivers are just obviously way more, you know, reliable and productive than the big running backs. Starting next year, fantasy is going to be done forever in terms of, you know, the old way that everybody used to play it.
No, and the thing about it is I agree with you 100% on that. And let me tell you what, Chris, not only that, you look at the owners this year that stuck to their guns with running back, because they wanted to be contrarian. A lot of guys went wide receiver this year. And that was the big talk. So you had the guy say, well, let me, you know what, I can grab Lacy and I can grab Lynch. You might be 1-5 now with Lacy and Lynch as your first two picks off the board.
Corey, you could put any two running backs that were drafted in the top 25, any combination, and you're a negative right now, without a doubt. There's no combination. You know, you might have got lucky with a Le'Veon Bell-Matt Forte combo first two rounds, and you waited. That's pretty much the only combo I could see you coming out ahead right now, you know. And everybody was a little scared. A lot of people were scared off of the Le'Veon Bell with the suspension. But now that he's back, you know, obviously, well, this past week, Corey, I think that's just a fluky game. Le'Veon Bell is automatic. You know, he only put up 8 points this past week with no catches. That's a shock. I think that'll happen, you know, one time the whole year. But other than him and maybe Peterson, I mean, there was no winning combo to go with the first two. You just mentioned another name we forgot. Marshawn Lynch has been terrible all year long. Really, at this point, Corey, the answer was Devontae Freeman in the 10th round, obviously. That was the real
Hey, let me tell you, Devontae Freeman, Giovanni Bernard, Chris Johnson, Justin Forsett has been okay. He's been on the field, not what you expected. The receptors have not been there, not even the targets. Like we've seen in the past in the freshman offense. But other than that, the running backs have been a major disappointment. The PPR running backs in the PPR league is becoming the way to go.
The way to go, Corey. Absolutely. You know, we talk about it every week pretty much. You know, I hate to beat it to death, but the Danny Woodheads, the Gio Bernards, Deion Lewis has been a great find this year off the, you know, off the waiver wire, or if you drafted him real late. But the answer at running back right now is Devontae Freeman. You know, another running back that just popped into my head, that I have him on a handful of teams, that's a favorite of mine, is Chris Ivory. This is a top 10 running back easily in fantasy this year and will continue to be. And, you know, that's pretty much was the answer. Obviously, the first couple of rounds were busts. The middle rounds with some pretty good talent, Ingram and Frank Gore, are producing now. Those are some good picks at running back, along with Chris Ivory, Todd Gurley, and then the Devontae Freemans of the world and the PPR backs that you got later on. After that collection of running backs, there's nothing. I go through all the teams in my leagues that I'm competing against, and these guys are depleted at running back. You know, everyone's depleted at running back. You know, it really is a mess at running back position nowadays. It's tough to run in the NFL, Corey. You know, that's really what it is. It's tough to run in the NFL nowadays. These D linemen are so big and fast, and the offensive line's a messes. So it's just a tough position for running backs. You need to get out, and you need to be able to catch the ball to produce. Look at Arian Foster. Arian Foster is going to be a top 7 running back the rest of the way. You know, I'm loving seeing him in all my lineups because, you know, I didn't have to spend a top 2-round pick on him. And this guy catches 7-8 balls every week. That's the way it is. And he gets some rushing yards, but he's not killing it on the ground. He's doing it through the air. So, you know, it's been a strange season. It really has. And I'm sure it'll continue to be. But, You know, congrats to all the Devontae Freeman owners so far. You're kicking the crap out of all of us.
Can't seem to get a win against the Devontae Freeman team as hard as I try. Faced them the last 3 weeks in a row, and I'm like, wow, this guy's putting up enough almost to do it by himself. Want to start to turn the page and get into this week's schedule. Want to get you ready for week 7 in fantasy football, kind of get you in the feel, in the groove, the way to go with some of your lineup decisions, because we're so far past the draft that that's meaningless right now. You know who is what and how you got to play these guys. But making these proper line decisions are important. But first, I want to talk about a guy that will be joining a lot of fantasy football teams, if not already, over the course of the next 24 hours or so. And that is Minnesota Vikings wide receiver, University of Maryland Terrapin, Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, you talk about a waiver wire find. And this guy, in an offense that is slow, Adrian Peterson. Why are they not letting Teddy Bridgewater? This is North Turner's fantasy-friendly offense. Why are they not letting Teddy Bridgewater work with the whole playbook?
It's a good question. It's a really good question, Corey. But Teddy Bridgewater has been a major disappointment. He's pretty much unplayable at this point. I want to say that he hasn't had a week yet where he's been a top 18 quarterback, fantasy point-wise.
Oh, my.
Just a complete mess. You thought you'd get some running, some rush yards out of this guy also every week, but it just doesn't happen. And, the offense, they have weapons all around, at least going into the season, you thought, with the Charles Johnson coming on. He's been a major bust. He's banged up now. Wallace has a deep threat, a decent tight end with Rudolph.
God.
Yeah, I mean, who's come through? Who's come through? Nobody. You know, you never want a quarterback that is going to be told to be like a game manager and say, listen, hand the ball off, and when it's 3rd and 7, then we'll let you throw maybe. But it's just not happening right now. And I see him on a lot of waiver wires nowadays in all my big leagues. So that just goes to show you how much people have given up on Bridgewater.
Very uninspiring season so far for Teddy Bridgewater. But Stephon Diggs is a player that I think your fab budget should get a look at because of that. Like you said, the struggles in that offense, but we're seeing 2 weeks in a row now where he's locking on to Diggs. And Diggs is starting to come on and assert himself as a player in this offense. We thought Charles Johnson would be the possession guy. Johnson has been a dog, much like Wallace. I apologize for Wallace. Wallace love, again. But, do you trust the offense enough to put a nice-sized bid on Diggs? Or is he a guy, listen, if you get him, you get him and see what he can do? Or do you think this guy can be a player as you head down the stretch into the playoffs?
Corey, it is a tough decision on this guy right here because, number one, we're dealing with the Charles Johnson injury, and now you have to look at it. Like, Wallace has got one starting position locked up on one side of the ball. Now, when Charles Johnson is healthy, does Charles Johnson come back and regain his starting spot and move Diggs to pretty much irrelevant, and then your waiver wire bid on Diggs tonight is going to be pretty much useless? Or the fact that the chemistry that Bridgewater and Diggs have already in the last couple of weeks, and the fact that Diggs, is producing, does he stay on the field making Charles Johnson useless? That's a tough call, but the way I'm looking at it, Diggs led all the Vikings receivers this past week in snaps. He snaps this past week. More than Wallace, more than anybody. I think they like the kid enough, and I don't see how you could take him off the field when he's catching these 7-8 balls a week. Even Mike Wallace said this past week, Mike Wallace said he reminds me of Antonio Brown. That's a major compliment right there. I don't know if you can keep a guy that's that talented, on the sideline. So I'd be making a pretty good bid on him tonight if I was in need of a wide receiver. I think he stays, and I think Charles Johnson pretty much plays the third wide receiver role from here on out.
Tomorrow night in the Greenwich Street Tavern, what is on the TV? Thursday Night Football or the New York Mets trying to clinch if they don't clinch tonight?
That's a great question, and we'll do it like this, Corey. The game is a terrible one, in my opinion, the Seattle-San Fran game. And luckily, I have no Seattle or San Francisco players on any of my teams. But we will have it on. You know, we have six TVs, five of them will be dedicated to the Mets, and we'll put one of the TVs on the San Fran Seattle game just to, you know, keep our eye on it and watch what's going on.
No doubt, at least the Mets are very the Mets. You can root for the Mets this year because their fans have not turned their run into bitterness. Their fans are using their run to enjoy it, so that is good to see from the New York Mets fan.
Loving it right now, Corey. We're gonna wrap it up tonight, hopefully.
That'll be a good look. Daniel Murphy, oh my goodness, you talk about stud of studs right now. He is really getting it done.
On fire, in his own. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
All right, let's talk about, get back to some fantasy football. That was a quick little MLB postseason intermission. Like you said before, the Seattle Seahawks. What's up?
I said we had to get some Mets talking. Absolutely, Corey.
Now, no doubt the MLB playoffs have been very exciting so far this season. But the Seahawks in San Francisco, once the best rivalry in football, not so much no more. Always low-scoring contest games in San Fran. Seattle should be a nice victory, should get a nice victory in this one. They're a 6.5-point road favorite. 42 is the projected total, 24 on the Seattle side. We saw Jimmy Graham finally have a Jimmy Graham-type game this past week. I think maybe he can keep that going. You have a Graham owner in your season-long competition. Obviously, you haven't been pleased with him thus far, but I don't think it's to the point yet where you can bench Graham for a Ladarius Green or a Brent Shelley type.
No, Corey, absolutely not. You know, you drafted Jimmy Graham to be, you know, a top three tight end, and, yeah, he's been a disappointment, obviously, so far, but – they talked him up last week going into the week saying, listen, Russell Wilson saying, hey, I got to make it my business to get him the ball more. And he did just that, you know. Had a huge game, 7 for 140 this past week. Maybe that triggers something off. San Francisco's defense is nothing special. So, you know, Jimmy Graham can be able to eat again tomorrow. You know, you got to keep rolling Jimmy Graham out there. You don't bench him, that's for sure. And, you know, should have a nice game tomorrow. But this is a fantasy wasteland game, Corey. It really is. Obviously, starting, you know, we won't spend too much time on this because these games usually are low scoring, you know, but you never usually want to start either quarterback in this type of game because it's usually a 17-7 type. I don't trust Kaepernick tomorrow. I wouldn't start pretty much any San Francisco 49er at all. Bolden's been playing well lately, but he's coming in on a little bit of a sprained ankle now. He's in practice today, and he's a little questionable. He'll probably fight through it and play, but what's the ceiling for Anquan Bolden this week? Not high.
11.
So if you have better options, you know, go with them. And that's it. Play your kickers. Play your Seattle defense. You got to play Lynch, Graham, and Russell Wilson's in a pretty good spot versus San Fran's D also. So that's pretty much, you know, who I would be playing tomorrow in tomorrow's game.
No doubt, good judgment on that. Those are the players that you want to put in your lineups. You kind of have to in the season-long game, obviously. That's what we're talking about here. Moving on to Sunday, got another one of these London games. Chris, I remember you talked about it before. How do you approach London going across the sky, going across the waters, to play a game in another continent, another country? Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars, you might as well move out there. The Jaguars, almost like the team out there. This is what it is. It's Buffalo and Jacksonville. Jacksonville comes in there with an uninspiring record, but they get it done for fantasy.
Yeah, that's the funny part. You're right. And the defense isn't that good, so they're always passing. These two teams, Corey, you know, they're going across the pond for this London game, and these two teams are probably two of the most banged-up teams in the NFL right now with a load of question marks and questionable players going there. I could tell you this much for the people that haven't been up to speed. You know, Carlos Williams has already been ruled out for this game again. Percy Harvin's already been ruled out. He didn't make the trip. You're looking at a starting wide receiver core of Chris Hogan and Robert Woods this week for the Bills. You're not going to see Sammy Watkins. Rex Ryan still isn't saying he's out, but you know what? He was on crutches after the game last week. There's no way, you know, a week later he's going to be able to play. So the whole team's banged up. McCoy got back surprisingly last week and played okay. Other than that, I think Tyrod Taylor will be ready to go again, but his options are limited. And on the Jacksonville side of the ball, Corey, Allen Robinson is going to probably play, even though he's a little banged up, and same thing with Julius Thomas. And Julius Thomas is a nice sight to see back in lineups. I think he'll be a nice, productive tight end in this offense going forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I have him as a tight end one for the rest of the season. I think Julius Thomas comes right into this pass-friendly offense and gets it done. Chris Lee run a couple of my quarterback lineup decisions over on, you know, drop it on you.
Yep.
You think about it. One of my leagues,
yes.
12-team, a little bit of stakes on it, you know what I'm saying? Sitting pretty good right now, 4-2. Got a big win this week, thankfully, 125-124.
Ooh,
now I have a decision to make. Yeah, I know. Now I have a decision to make this week. Sam Bradford or Blake Bortles?
Bortles.
Yeah, Blake Bortles. You 100%. Bortles is in my lineup, and even though he's across the pond, he's in my lineup. Same question, same team. Jordan Matthews or Allen Hurns?
Man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I got Hurns in the lineup now.
I was just going to say, you gotta roll with Hurns. You got to go with Hurns. Keep your eye on Hurns. He missed practice today with a you know, he's got another ankle issue right now. The whole receiving core is banged up. Robinson and Hurns are a little nicked up, and Julius Thomas has some rib issue from landing on the ball late in the game last week. But expect them all to play, and, hey, roll with the Jacksonville offense. Stay away from that Eagles offense right now, Corey. I mean, I'm heavily invested in it. I got Bradford in a lot of places. Luckily, I backed him up with some decent quarterbacks. So I'm not playing Bradford this week until I see something better. I thought he had turned the corner. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about that as we get on the Philly game. But I'd go Bortles over him, and I'd go with Hurns over Jordan Matthews right now. Matthews just isn't producing well.
In my 14-team league, this is the quarterback for my roster, Chris. Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, Tony Romo, and Mark Sanchez.
Wow.
I'm going to have to go to the waiver wire again this week and snatch up a quarterback. Nick Foles or Landry Jones?
Oh, my goodness.
Chris has gotten that bad.
It's that bad.
See, I don't feel like I can play Tyrod with no weapons. Or is the defense, or is Jacksonville defense that bad where Tyrod can take over the game himself?
Yeah, and if you threw those two guys out at me or said, do I stick with Tyrod, I'd say stick with Tyrod. I'd go with Tyrod Taylor and just hope that he's over his injury. He could give you some rushing yards and rely on Jacksonville's defense, letting Tyrod be productive. Again, people eat on Jacksonville's defense.
That's true, too, but Kansas City's giving up the most passing touchdowns in the NFL.
I know.
And Landry Jones, at least Landry Jones is not Michael Vick.
You know what? You know what scares me, Corey? And I'll throw an option at you. I have a league. I'm 4-2, and I love my team, loaded at running back, receiver, tight end. But I have a quarterback issue, and it's my quarterbacks are Bradford. And this is the same situation as you, pretty much, where we usually tell our listeners, we don't advise to carry a bunch of quarterbacks, but, hey, it's been that kind of year. And I'm carrying Bradford, Cutler, and Bridgewater. And Cutler's on a bye, even though he's looked good. And I don't want to play Bradford or Bridgewater, so I'm looking at the waiver wire, and I'm looking at the same names you're looking at. Foles, I'm sorry.
Matchup against
Cousins.
Brown, but it's Todd Gurley's team now.
Yeah, Foles, Cousins, and, Landry Jones. And I almost said to myself, let me go with Landry Jones, but I have a scary feeling that they're 1 week away from Big Ben, and they say, listen, Le'Veon, just carry us this game and, you know, give them 30 carries. You don't want to be put in that position, even though Kansas City's pass defense is weak. You know, how many times do you think they're going to let Landry Jones drop back and pass when you have Le'Veon Bell in the backfield?
No doubt. It makes no sense. And, you know, it'd be one of the decisions I'd be having to make, you know, game time decision as we get closer to Sunday morning. So, boy, I tell you what, the quarterback position has been brutal so far this season. But like you said, when it comes to this particular London contest right here today, it's nothing really much to talk about fantasy-wise.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, it's just ugly. It really is, the whole thing. I'm just glad that Andrew Luck came back last week, Corey, and that's about 75% of my teams. At least I could sit back, not even look at the quarterback position and know that Andrew Luck is locked in there. But unless you have Tom Brady and Luck and, you know, a small handful of others, you're in the same position as we are every week, rotating quarterbacks, streaming them, and it's ugly. There's not too many good ones out there.
Speaking of the aforementioned Nick Foles, the St. Louis Rams 5.5-point home favorite against the Cleveland Browns. St. Louis looking at 23.5, while Cleveland looking at 17.5. Gary Bourne is a mainstay in fantasy lineups right now, Chris.
Oh, my God. This guy is some find, Corey, at the tight end position. It really is. Guy's producing every week, and you got to keep rolling with him. You know, the guy's been around for, I think, about 8 years and hasn't done anything, but now all of a sudden he just found his home in Cleveland. So it's just one of those weird things. I mean, it's not – you're not a bad fantasy player if you didn't see this coming. And, you know, I would say you're not a great one either if you picked him up off waivers thinking you were going to get this production. So it's just one of those things. Count your blessings. And there's been a lot of that this year, Corey. To be honest with you, getting guys off the waiver wire – like a Barnage and a Deion Lewis, and these guys, they're putting out every week. They're locked into starting lineups. But, yeah, you got to keep rolling Barnage
flyer and, yeah, pick these guys, him, Travis Benjamin, picked him up as a flyer, and now he's part of the offense. I think Duke Johnson is a player that's definitely in the mix on the Cleveland side of the ball this week. Now, St. Louis has no passing wide receiver tight end to speak of, but if you play daily fantasy sports, you might as well expect 75% to 95% ownership for Todd Gurley this week at home against the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, I don't know how you don't play him this week. And I hate to say that because, you know, I'm making all my lineups and I haven't made one yet without Todd Gurley in it. I guess I'll just come out and say it. You know, on DraftKings.
You might as well.
Corey, what's his price on FanDuel this week? Do you know off the top of your head?
I can grab that for you right quick. But Todd Gurley definitely is a I hate to say a must play because when you have a player like Gurley, you know you may want to look at saving him. But I don't think you can save him in this situation.
Yeah, you know what? You hear a lot of the big daily fantasy players talk about it, but I think Todd Gurley, if you're looking at it like this, if you're playing a cash game, he has to be a mainstay in your lineup because everyone else is going to have him, and you know what? You cancel each other out, and you move on to the rest of your lineups. But if you're in a big tournament-type play, you know, that's a fade. You know, I can't see him not putting up great numbers, but if he somehow doesn't, and, you know, somehow he just doesn't. Well, you just wiped out probably 75% of your competition at that position. So, you know, I'm sure people will be fading him or trying to read in between the lines to figure out what to do. But he's my number one play this week at the running back position for sure.
No doubt. I really can't see where it's worth to fade. The price on FanDuel is $7,400 this week if you're looking for some action over there.
$7,400, you said?
Yeah, $7,400.
Yeah, that's not even – I mean, that's respectable. Real quick on that game, though, I just wanted to talk about somebody you just brought up. Besides Barnage on the Browns, this guy Travis Benjamin has been another find. It's unbelievable.
Yes, he has.
He has, I want to say, is it four straight 80-yard gains, I think it is? You know, something like that, Corey. He's quietly producing, you know, really good really good numbers. He's had double-digit targets in every game. So, you know, each of his past four games, he's had double-digit targets. So, you know, that's the sign of a monster number one wide receiver. And that's the guy that either was undrafted or a really, really late-round pick, probably undrafted off the free agent wire early in the year. You know what? He's sticking. He's sticking right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Gurley, and I'm not saying not Gurley, but no, Benjamin, like you said, another fine off the waiver wire. And I was like, I'm not going out to the draft. They paid up no bucks for Travis Benjamin. And you know what? I was dead wrong on that one. You know, you look at the quarterback situation, which has been better than expected, but Travis Benjamin and Vaughn is definitely fine. And these are guys that are definitely just about every week starters in your fantasy football lineups. Moving right along, the Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins down there in Miami. 44.5, Miami's a 4-point home favorite. 24-20 is what the spread says. When Vegas is talking about for the final score of this game, boy, and I tell you what, DeAndre Hopkins has been everything. He has been everything. The targets, the receptions, the touchdowns, just the talent that comes along with DeAndre Hopkins. And it's not too many players, if I was the redraft, that I would pick before DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and Corey, I think I don't think you would get past the top five overall picks right now if you did a redraft and you wouldn't hear his name. I mean, 52 catches for 726 yards so far through 6 weeks. Just every week a double-digit target monster. You know, and it's funny, too, because I'm watching him, and, you know, we say it all the time, we're big on Hopkins. We own him a ton in a lot of leagues, so we're loving this every week. But, you know, even last week, I was like, you know, it was like third quarter. He wasn't having a good game. You know, not too many catches. He was like three catches for like 33 yards, and it was like the end of the third quarter. And I was like, I knew this day was coming where he was going to have the, you know, the weak game, the slow game. I didn't expect it last week versus Jacksonville, but I'm like, you know, it happened to me. I got to live with it, you know? And then, boom, before you know it, this guy just always had that one drive where he just catches four or five balls in a row and a touchdown, and his numbers explode. And then he came right back after the one touchdown, and on the next drive scored on a bomb touchdown again. Before you know it, it's another 35-point week. I mean, the guy is a dream. He's uncoverable, and he's a great wide receiver in every aspect. Great route runner, great catcher, and, you know, he's a target monster. So nothing negative you could say about this guy.
At this point in your season, if you get a trade offer in your inbox for and you're DeAndre Hopkins owner and your opponent wants DeAndre Hopkins, if it's not Le'Veon Bell, Julio Jones, or Ty Gurley, I don't think you can do it. And I don't think there's many other names out there besides those. Maybe Devonta Freeman.
Yeah. I mean, I think you just named pretty much everybody. I wouldn't even take him for Gronk. I wouldn't take Gronk for Hopkins, you know. Give me Hopkins over Gronk. I mean, I can't see many others. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, if Roethlisberger came back, you know, send me Antonio Brown maybe. Other than that, I'm keeping Hopkins. I'm not trading him for nothing.
Can't see it. Arian Foster back in the mix, doing what Arian Foster does. Looked good last week, breaking tackles, running the ball well. Like you said, coming past the line of scrimmage, turning around, getting them dump off passes from Brian Hoyer. This is what the Houston Texans offense is. It rolls through two people, Arian Foster and DeAndre Hopkins, and they're going to be playing from behind a lot. So that is fantasy goal right there. In that Houston Texans offense, and these are guys that you can roll out each and every week, and you can play them each and every week in DFS content.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you keep rolling Hopkins out in your daily lineup every week, then you're making money every week right now, because I guess some people keep jumping off of them, and those that are like, I shouldn't have jumped off of them. But on the Texans side of the ball, Corey, obviously the whole offense is those two guys, and if you own the two of them, you know, enjoy it, because every time the ball snapped, it's in one of those two hands. But Nate Washington's coming back this week. Cecil Shorts is still out. Nate Washington will help out on the opposite side of DeAndre Hopkins. So So if he's available in your waiver wire and you need a little wide receiver help this week, Nate Washington, decent pickup. He'll probably give you like a 5-for-50 type performance. While defense is, you know, focusing on Hopkins and Foster, you could do worse than Washington off the waiver wire this week.
Nice call right there. Going over to the Miami Dolphins side of the football. You know, we saw Lamar Miller. We saw what we wanted. We saw what we expected from Lamar Miller last weekend. The matchup called for it. New head coach. Went out there and did it and got it done. Hopefully that continues this week. He's one of the top ranked, the top 12 running back on Scout Fantasy this week. So go over there and check out those rankings. Now, Miller, we want this production to keep up because that's what we thought Miami was going to do. Tannehill has been a dog. Jarvis Landry, though, is a player, a sneaky player I like this week in DFS, actually, is Jarvis Landry. Are you satisfied with the Landry production so far this week? I mean, so far this season? The Chargers have been there every week until last week, but I think they get right back to that this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned with Landry. You know, he started off good. He started off fine the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know. He's getting his targets. Had 8 catches a bunch of weeks in a row. So, overall, the body of work for Landry is pretty good right now. No problem there. He still, you know, plays a ton of snaps. The funny thing is, though, Rishard Matthews, who people thought might disappear a little bit with the news of Kenny still starting over him last week, it didn't work out that way. Matthews played just as many snaps as, you know, Landry pretty much. And this guy is just as valuable as Landry. They have the same amount of fantasy points this year, if you could believe that. Matthews and Landry are tied with the same amount of fantasy points. I wouldn't want to own anybody else in that receiving corps other than those two. You saw Jordan Cameron finally get in the end zone last week. Dan Campbell being a tight end and taking over as the head coach now. Maybe Jordan Cameron gets his season on, you know, start getting going in a little bit. He's been a bust so far, but the guy that you talked about, Lamar Miller, Corey, I would be trying to trade for him now, and I would be trying to, I'd be trying to trade for him. I think he's over, you know, being a bust for the first 5 weeks of the season. I see him having a better year from here on out.
No doubt, I agree with you on that. I think Miller is a player that you buy on right now. I think Cameron's a player that you sell, especially if he has another nice contest this week. You know, the injury history and concerns with Jordan Cameron have always seemed to be a case for concern, but 44.5 is the point total in this one. This is a game you could target in DFS, I think, because you have Hopkins. You have two young SEC wide receivers. Jarvis Landry does not want to come into this game and be shown up by his rival in DeAndre Hopkins. Trust me, I think he's going to look to get the ball in his hands this week also.
Yeah. Yeah, Corey, I could see them going, you know, back and forth with each other. Could be a pretty good fantasy game.
I think it really could be sneaky. I like the over on that 44.5.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't a couple more points higher, maybe high 40s or something like that. You know, I think it's a little lower because the Dolphins' defense finally got their, you know, I mean, it was versus Tennessee last week. But the defense finally got their, butts in gear a little bit. Cameron Wake woke up with a bunch of sacks. Sue played good, and, you know, the secondary. You know, this happens, though, Corey. You see this every year when a coach gets fired, one or two guys get fired, shakes the whole team up. It wakes them up. And if you remember, the Dolphins' defense was supposed to be a top-5 unit this year coming in. That's how they were drafted in fantasy draft.
Yep.
And then You look this week, they're on the waiver wire, available in every league. So, you know, maybe that's why it's a little lower. But, hey, we'll see on Sunday.
No doubt, dude. You're 100% on that one. New York Jets, so in New England, going to take on the Patriots. Big-time AFC East rival. The Patriots are 9-point home favorite. Really nothing to talk about on the Patriots side of the football. You know you roll them out. The Jets do give these guys fits. The Jets are a tough matchup for them, especially in the Rex Ryan era. I don't expect much changes with Todd Bowles bringing a team in there. It's the Jets side of the football that I think is very intriguing and interesting because even though they're going to New England and they're a big favorite, a big dog on the road, I don't see no reason why you don't warm up Chris Ivory, Eric Decker, and Brandon Marshall. These guys have been excellent fantasy contributors so far this season.
Corey, we've been talking about it for weeks now. It's a three-headed monster, Jets offense. And your boy Ryan Fitzpatrick is leading them. I know you know every week you tell me you got a QB. This guy might be an answer at quarterback. I mean, not for nothing. He's giving you rushing yards as well every week. He's running 30 to 50 rushing yards. He ran in a long touchdown this past week. You know, listen, this offense is a lot more legit than anyone ever thought it could be.
Yep.
Chris Ivory, we talked about in the top of the show. He's a top 10 running back the rest of the way. He barely comes off the field, you know. So he even catches the ball now out of the backfield, which is something he never did really. Catching the ball, goal line back. He's everything you want in a running back, in a fantasy running back, and it's great. Marshall's a legit top 10 wide receiver fantasy, and Decker's a great compliment as a wide receiver. A high wide receiver 3, low end wide receiver 2 every week. This is a really interesting matchup though versus the Patriots. It always is. And on the flip side of the ball, it's going to be interesting on who these Jets corners cover. Now, you know, every time the Jets play the Patriots, who's Revis going to cover? Is he going to be on Edelman? Are they going to just keep him on the outside? You know, is there a shot that he can even, you know, try and take Gronk out of the game? Like, you know, Richard Sherman did when he played the Patriots. Like, you know, there's a lot of, Aqib Talib did that one time versus Jimmy Graham and just wiped him out of the game. You know, there's a lot of different, matchups. But, you know, the Jets, three-headed monster, you'd roll out every week. Let me ask you this, Corey. Has Gronk been a little bit of a disappointment now if you look through 6 weeks of the season?
You know, this all this talk about him being by far and away the best fantasy tight end, he has not been the best fantasy tight end by far and away. He hasn't.
No. No, I mean, you know, I think you sign up for Gronk and you think you're getting 7-8 catches, 110 a game, 110 yards, and a touchdown. And, you know, it was shocking this past week versus the Colts. I had him in all my daily lineups. I said, you know, coming off of a slow game the week before, I thought he would have a monster game. He usually does when he plays Colts, but you looked up and this guy didn't even have a catch. I mean, I want to say he didn't even have a catch at halftime. Maybe he had one. I know he finally got in the end zone in the second half to save his day, but the numbers weren't impressive again.
No, and when you take him in the first round, you're saying you need these numbers. You need that
right.
7-for-110 in the touch. When you put that big void in the middle of your middle of your lineup by taking that tight end so early, those teams have to be hamstrung and looking for answers right now because that's a spot where a big-time wide receiver could have went, and instead you took Rob Gronkowski, who, you know, he's going to have his games, but, you know,
the funny thing is, by far and away, the best
tight end in fantasy, like everybody said.
You're right, but you know what's funny, Corey, and, you know, we say that about Gronk, that he slowed down the last couple of weeks, but look who's slowed down along with them. I mean, my boy Julio, I mean, he's great and everything, but these last couple of weeks have been a little slow, right?
Yep.
You know, A.J. Green hasn't gotten in the end zone lately. He's had a couple slow games in a row. Obviously, we know the situation with Antonio Brown. He's obviously had a terrible last three weeks. You know, so it's not only Gronk first round that's slowed down lately. It's all these other, big receivers. There's really, unless your name is DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Freeman, you know, you haven't been automatic, you know, through the first 6 weeks, week in and week out. Calvin Johnson
everybody
just finally had a really good game. Yeah, everybody has been either hit or miss or just complete miss. That's, you know, that's been the story the first 6 weeks with all these big guns. So, I mean, that's why you see these DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Freeman owners just so far ahead in points in all your leagues because they're consistent every week.
No doubt. Speaking of Calvin Johnson, the Detroit Lions, a home dog for the Minnesota Vikings, you know, NFC North competition, big-time rivalry here. 44.5
mm-hmm.
is the projected score, 23 on Minnesota. Of course, that makes it 20 on the Detroit side of the football. I'm rolling Theo Reddick out just about every week that he's healthy. He's going into my RB2 slot in most of my lineups. I'm going to put that pass catching running back in there before I put Applauding Booby Dixon in there. It's just the way I play it.
Yeah, you shouldn't have Booby Dixon in your lineup anyway, Corey. But, but hey, listen, we talk about the PPR running backs. We beat it to death, I know, but throw Theo Reddick in there, and I saw him a lot. Funny, you know, everyone's thinking along with us. We talked about it on last week's show about how Theo Reddick should be in all your lineups. Well, across all my leagues, going through the leagues and going through a lineup, every owner, every Theo Reddick owner had him in last week. And, you know, just a PPR monster. Joyke Bell's not out, not playing. I don't think he plays again this week. You know, the kid Zenner, Zach Zenner, is out for the season now. So that's another guy that was stealing a couple snaps out of the Detroit backfield. He's gone now. And Abdullah's got the fumbling issues. So, I mean, Theo Reddick's going to be on the field a lot. And you got to keep playing this guy for sure.
No doubt. We're on that one. Calvin Johnson started turning around. Golden Tate has monster targets. And he's not putting up the numbers. Is that on Bradford? I mean, Stafford, who finally had a good game last week on most of you all fish? Or is that on Tate?
You know, Tate, well, speaking of Golden Tate, man, boy, did he get lucky with that touchdown call, which, you know, I don't think any of us know what a touchdown is anymore, but think about this. I mean, without that touchdown, I mean, his numbers wouldn't have been, you know, terrific again. So Stafford was struggling a lot early, so I'm sure that had part to do with it. I mean, the targets are there, like you said, so he's got to make more of it. He's got to make the most of it right now. The schedule opens up for Detroit now. They had a couple tough weeks. He's got some secondaries coming up now, you know, that they could take advantage of. So let's see, you know, if Golden Tate could get back on the right foot. But let me ask you another guy that a lot of people will probably be seeing on waiver wires tonight and bidding on, the third guy in that Detroit wide receiving corps, Lance Moore. You think that's worth a shot tonight, Corey? Or just
I think Lance Moore is so hit or miss, though. If you put Lance Moore in your lineups, you got to cross your fingers, Jack.
I think you do, but you know what? Two of the hottest names that you're going to see on the waiver wire tonight are a couple oldies but goodies, I guess. A couple guys that are one-week wonders, or do you think they stick with Lance Moore? And then Ben Watson, the tight end from the Saints, who's been around since I think I was about 4 or 5 years old, Corey.
You know what? Lance Moore, his years in New Orleans, he was the ultimate bye week wide receiver. Him and Brian Hartline were two wide receivers that you could have snagged late in drafts 3 or 4 years ago. And when you got to the bye weeks, those were the dudes putting up double digit numbers each and every week. Yeah. Not so much the case now.
No, and you remember the old Lance Moore story. You play him in the Superdome, and when he's out on the road on grass, you bench him. And it worked every single time. It was amazing. Every single time. It was amazing. You put him on grass, he couldn't do nothing. You put him in the dome, well, here he is again, Corey. He's playing in Detroit now. So, and he was at home last week, and he put up a monster game. Now, does that continue this week? Who knows? Who knows? But, you know, people are hurting at wide receiver, a lot of people, and they'll be bidding on him tonight. I wouldn't go too crazy on Lance Moore, but some people might have to.
If you are playing in DFS contest this week, how much exposure are you going to have to Adrian Peterson versus this Lions defense?
I will have him in a couple lineups. I always love to go with the bounce back, you know, strategy. You know, the Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson. You know, the two of them coming off really bad weeks, as pretty much as bad as you're going to see them. You know, I think you got to roll with one of them. I mean, you could legitimately put a Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley combo, or Peterson Gurley combo together, and I think that's what you'll be seeing a ton of across the industry this weekend.
No, I agree with you on that. I think it's the week you pay up for the big running backs, and you can probably get some value at wide receiver, and you mix and match, you know, depending on where you're playing at and how the salary is structured. But I am on Peterson this week. Tampa Bay is in Washington to take on the Skins. Skins are 3-point favorites, 23-20. Straight NFL talk, not fantasy talk. to hear Jay Gruden in the press conference defending Kirk Cousins week after week after week, oh, my goodness.
Some franchises, Corey, are just snake-bitten at the quarterback position, and it sets them back 5-10 years, and that's what Washington's going through right now. When you spend a top pick on a quarterback and it bombs like they did with RG3, you know,
sets
and then you don't go
back 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it sets you back. And you know, they thought they had the answer with, you know, a quarterback that they drafted in that same draft a couple rounds later with Cousins. Just, you know, I don't know if it's NFL defenses and other teams just figured him out, because early on he was legit, you know, a couple of years ago when he first came in and would come in and play. But not anymore, he's not. And, you know, granted, he hasn't had DeSean Jackson all year. I don't know if that would help or hurt. And he hasn't had Jordan Reed lately. I don't think it makes a difference either. But, I mean, it can't hurt, I guess, to have, you know, all your weapons. But this team doesn't do much on offense. And I'm still loving my Jamison Crowder, though. You know,
yeah, he didn't play home game.
Yeah, I would roll him out this week. I know I actually have to in a couple leagues as a flex play this week, and I like him because DeSean Jackson isn't going to play again either. But Jordan Reed did get back on the practice field today. That he's over his concussion. They say to look for him on Sunday, that he'll be back. But I'm sure by the second or third quarter, he'll be out of the game again.
So, no doubt, I got a couple bids in on Derek Carey. I got some tight end problems this week. So, that news that league would possibly come back this week may send me down that Ben Watson path.
Are you paying up for Ben Watson? Are you going to go after Ben Watson or no?
I got, I got a little something on Ben Watson. I got a little something on Ben Watson. We'll see what he can do.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, it is what it is. 14-team league, sometimes you got to throw these guys out there.
Yeah,
now, what I find intriguing, though, the Tampa Bay side of the football is intriguing to me this week. Now, listen, somebody in Washington should be able to run and pass against the Buccaneers. And if they're going to do it on the ground, they're going to do it with Alfred Morris. The Matt Jones experience is over. Chris Thompson, if I'm not mistaken, missed practice today. Had that back injury last week. But I think he gets on the practice field by Friday. Pass catching running back. Where are these Tampa Bay wide receivers going to go off this week? Is it going to be Mike Evans or is it going to be Vincent Jackson?
You want the real answer? Flip a coin. Who knows?
Yep, that's it. Yep.
Who knows? Who knows? I'm just glad I don't own Vincent Jackson or Mike Evans in any league I'm in. I sit back and I look at this and look at teams that have them and they're struggling. You know, they've been both busts. Mike Evans especially. At least Vincent Jackson gave you that one big game. But when is Mike Evans going to come through with a decent game? I mean, is the chemistry that bad between Winston and Evans? Evans can't get going at all? I mean, it really is a mystery. We're talking about a guy, Mike Evans, that was a late, you know, second-round pick in a lot of high-stakes drafts this year. And if it wasn't for his injury late in the preseason that knocked him down to the late third round, this guy would have been a top 25 pick in every draft this year. So
you're talking about a situation where owners were on the board late in the second round trying to figure out if they should draft DeAndre Hopkins or Mike Evans. The guys that took Mike Evans, don't jump. Don't jump.
Oh, my God.
Don't jump. It's always next year.
I went back and looked. You know, I have this habit real quick of I like to always, every couple of weeks, I go back through my draft boards. And just see, like, this guy's really – did I make a mistake here or whatever? And that's what I was looking at, honestly, the other day. I was looking through my leagues, and thank God, each league that I had that question, when I would get to that, you know, that mid-20s and was on the board, thank God I took DeAndre Hopkins over Mike Evans. I was not high on Mike Evans at all, so he really wasn't an option for me. But I took DeAndre Hopkins over Mike Evans on every time I had that opportunity. Thank God, because what a, you know, talk about a night and day. And you're right. That's the situation. When you got big money on the line and you take a Mike Evans over a DeAndre Hopkins, if you like the both of them and you just happen to take Evans, I mean, you can't sleep at night at that point.
No, you can't. No, you can't. No. You can't. Like I said, don't jump. This next baseball will be back. You got a little bit of hoops. You got the daily games. You got DraftKings. Don't jump.
No.
Do not jump. just getting ready for next year in the fantasy football season because that did not work. I do have Vincent Jackson in a couple season-long leagues. I'm hoping he is the one. I will have some exposure to Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans in my DFS contest this week. I'm also going to throw a couple lineups out there with Jameis Winston. You can get good quarterback production against the D.C. football team.
Yeah, how about Doug Martin, Corey? This is a guy we didn't talk about, and he's starting to come around now. You believe in Doug Martin from here on out?
I believe in Doug Martin's game script. If they are in a situation where they are at home and they have a chance to win and they're in the game and Winston's not turning the football over, I think Doug Martin is one of the best running back plays on the board. The problem is it's hard to predict that.
Yeah. But he's really turned his season around through the first 4 weeks. You heard the B name, you know, you heard the Bucs label again. And I wasn't getting sucked into Doug Martin. Now, if Doug Martin continues to produce on, you know, the rest of the year like this, then, hey, I'll gladly, you know, congratulate the people that went in on him. But through 4 weeks, I was smiling, saying, thank God I avoided this guy. But, hey, he put up monster
value. I think there's some value to Doug Martin. I think there's value in this Washington-Tampa Bay game. I think this is a fantasy-friendly contest right here.
Yeah, it could be, you know. And I would say that Doug Martin might be in a little bit of trouble because the Washington run defense is a little stout. The secondary is where they struggle. So if you're looking for a game for Jackson and Evans to get going, well, then here it is. And, you know, I would start Garcon. I like him this week. And we talked about Jamison Crowder. Look for Alfred Morris to maybe get on track. He had a terrible matchup last week. Nobody could have been happy about trying to play him versus the Jets' run defense, and he only ran for 20 yards. But this week, everybody runs on Tampa. So Alfred Morris could be a sneaky daily play also this week.
Yeah, I like Alfred Morris this week. And like you said, everybody runs on Tampa, not to mention I'm quite sure Jay Gruden is trying to ask him the questions about why his quarterback, 2 interceptions a game. Moving along, the New Orleans Saints are in Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Another fantasy-friendly contest. Got a nice big 52 sitting up here with this one. Two of the best quarterbacks in the fantasy game, and Drew Brees and Andrew Luck. The Colts 4-point favorite in this one. Listen, the Colts, we already know who the pieces, who the players are. You're sitting out there and you're rolling them out there. I think Willie Snead is a go. Okay, Willie Snead is a go.
Yeah.
Would you start Willie Snead over Brandon Cook if you had one spot to pick to put a play in? I think I asked you this question last week.
Yeah. You did, and we both came to the agreement that the answer was Willie Snead, and I think I'm going right back to Willie Snead again. You know, listen, him and Cook last week, they pretty much canceled each other out. They, you know, neither one put up great numbers. I know Snead had like 9 fantasy points in a PPR and Cooks had 8. But, I mean, that was a golden opportunity for both of them to have, you know, really big numbers versus Atlanta on Thursday Night Football, especially with Cooks. You know, you can't play Cook. I mean, how can you trust Brandon Cooks right now? He just doesn't get it done in any situation. Any good situation he has, he doesn't get it done. It'd be interesting
another
to see
humongous bus.
Yeah, another humongous bus is right. Throw him into the mix with Mike Evans, and I think I've talked about this before on the show, but it amazed me how Brandon Cooks snuck into that top 8 wide receiver, those 8 monsters we talked about all draft season leading into the week that I thought were unpenetratable, you know, the big 8 wide receivers. How people were taking Brandon Cooks over A.J. Green and Randall Cobb. And even though Cobb hasn't produced great lately, I mean, it boggled my mind, but Cooks was right there. He was at least the 9th wide receiver off pretty much every draft board. And along with Mike Evans, man, oh, my God. 2 of them are killing people.
They're messing the money up. Brandon Cooks is messing the money up. Thankfully, in the leagues where I do have Brandon Cooks, the industry league, so no money involved. Of course, you like to compete well in those competitions, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't have him in anything with any stakes behind it. I do not have Brandon Cooks, fortunately, because I got off of Cooks later on in the draft season. Throughout the beginning of August, in the July, early August, I was on him. then I got off him when we got when we started going hot with the big bucks on the line. I hopped off him because I was like, well, this guy hasn't done it yet.
Corey, couldn't agree with you more on that one. You know, when Cooks early in the draft season was going in the early 30s overall, I liked it. When draft we came around and you saw him in the mid-teens, I said, no, thank you. And luckily he moved up the board on everyone else's board and he got off of mine. And, you know, luckily we reaped the benefits. But just, you know, on this game real quick, this is the game I'm watching this week, you know. You know, fire up all your Colts. And if you're, you know, you got your Saints, you got to play them in this game, hopefully play them from behind. But this should be a fantasy-friendly game, hopefully in the dome. And hopefully Andrew Luck, who put up 37 fantasy points in a six-point, you know, passing touchdown league. I think 32 maybe in four-point leagues. Monster game, even though you could tell watching him, Corey, that he's still rusty. He overthrew a lot of balls, underthrew a couple, little rusty, didn't run much until late in the game on the last drive, total package. And if he could keep getting over this arm injury, the weapons are there for him with Hilton and Moncrief. Andre Johnson goes right back to everybody's bench after another, you know, terrible game, after that one, you know, homecoming game that came out of nowhere. Other than that, hopefully this Colts offense is going to turn into what we all thought it would be all week, all year long. Starting now.
No doubt. And hopefully he's a player, Andrew Luck is, that can get warm up and start rolling down the stretch, and he can give you what we thought he'd give you, and you have your nice self a little peace as you get ready for the heading to your fantasy, to make the run to your fantasy postseason and into the postseason, and hopefully to the top of the leaderboard. The Oakland Raiders and the San Diego Chargers, another very fantasy-friendly game. We see a lot of high point totals this week. 46.5 is the total on this one. San Diego at home gets the Oakland team coming in there, division matchup. These two teams are going to go at each other this week, and I think that everybody out here this week with Latavius Murray, Amari Cooper, even some Crabtree Love, I think it's more Murray and Cooper definitely big-time must-starts this week. If you got to roll Derek Carr out there in places, this is the week to do so. On the San Diego side of the football, we see old man Gates come right back in and get in the mix. Keenan Allen, if he's healthy, he plays. He's an excellent option this week. You've seen a lot of DFS lineups. And you know what? A nice contrarian play this week against that Oakland Raider secondary is Ladarius Green.
Yeah, Corey, the one thing I'll disagree with you on, and I guess we'll see on Sunday, I don't expect a huge game from Amari Cooper. This Chargers secondary is playing very well. And if they sit Jason Verrett, who's coming into his own as one of these top corners in NFL, a young corner that was drafted high, he's really playing great. I think his name will become bigger in the next year or two as a shutdown corner. If they put him on Cooper all game long, I think Cooper might struggle. But Cooper's done it all year. So that'll be an interesting matchup. I'm interested to see if Cooper gets good numbers this week. But Latavius Murray, though, versus the San Diego run defense should have a good game. And then on the opposite side of the ball, hey, we talk about quarterbacks that, you know, the quarterback position struggling. Well, if you got Phillip Rivers late, and, you know, he was one of those quarterbacks that was going 13th, 14th, 15th off the board, man, you got some reward because Rivers is a top six quarterback in fantasy this year, producing week in and week out. And he got his boy Gates back. Gates is a top five tight end the rest of the way. And what can you say about Keenan Allen? He bounced back off that bad year last year. Guy is an absolute stud wide receiver one this year. And hopefully that hip injury that he got, they said he's fine and he'll play this week. But hopefully it doesn't slow him down.
I agree with you 100% on that. I think the only really guy you might be fading in this competition right here is Melvin Gordon. He is not tight putting the rookie numbers that we've seen so far this season. Danny Woodhead is a fixture in my lineups where I have Woodhead, and that is quite a few of them. So I'm going to continue to roll him out, maybe give him some love in DFS this week. Just start to get my lineups. Chris, we got a little matchup right here with the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants, our two teams. Obviously a hobbled Dallas Cowboy team went to the Meadowlands to take on a mentally hobbled New York Giant team. And on South Fantasy, the number one wide receiver, ranked, the number one receiver this week is obviously DeAndre Hopkins. The number one is Todd Gurley. But this is Odell Beckham right here. This game says Odell Beckham.
Yeah, it sure does, Corey. I would look for Eli and Odell to bounce back in this game versus Dallas D. Little worried about, you know, Greg Hardy coming off the end against the Giants O-line. Maybe Eli doesn't have enough time, but we'll see about that one. But Odell didn't have a big game in the opener. I doubt that Dallas can shut him, slow him down both times they play this week, this year. So I'd roll out Odell. There's not much else in the Giant pass game getting it done. Reuben Randle continues to disappoint. Shane Vereen continues to disappoint. Oh,
oh
my God.
Oh, Shane Vereen is a
talk about.
Yo, son, he's waiver wire. You can put him on the wire.
Oh, my God. You might see him. You know what, Corey? You're right. You might see him, I mean, not on a lot of leagues, but some people might get frustrated, just drop him, you know, this week after last week's performance. That was a golden opportunity. I know in daily he was, you know, highly owned. And people were going in on him, thinking, oh, all right, with the Giants receivers banged up, Vereen could catch 7-8 balls this week. Nothing. He got nothing. But he's one of those PPR backs that backfires. Three-headed monster in the backfield. They rotate. I watch all my Giant games. They rotate way too much. They bring in this bum, Andre Williams. Stop bringing in Andre Williams enough. The guy is a zero. He gets hit behind the line every single time. At least Jennings is producing a little bit. But if they just go to those two guys, Jennings and Vereen, at least they can make them fantasy relevant. But Williams plays like one or two series every half, and it just ruins the value of the other two. But look for Beckham. On the opposite side of the ball, and you could talk more about it, Corey, because you're the Cowboy fan. You believe this Kristen Michael gets the start hype, or it's just all a facade?
I think if he's on your waiver wire tonight, he's definitely a speculative ad. Kristen Michael going to be in the mix. Like I said, they're trying to change things up, try to buy some time to get the big guns back because nobody's running away with this NFC East. And it probably will be in Thanksgiving before we really start to see anybody try to pull away from the pack. And really after Thanksgiving.
The Cowboys to win the NFC East this year. I'll be shocked
crazy as that
they
may
don't.
Sound, they have to be the favorites. It's crazy as that may sound. But see, one thing you do have now is you get Matt Castle in there. And Matt Castle is not Brandon Weed. Matt Castle is the NFL quarterback. He has taken teams to the playoff before when their quarterback is going down. Now, can he continue to do that? He got beat out this year by Tyrod Taylor, but I think it was the time for Tyrod Taylor to get a shot. To be a star in the NFL, really nothing special about Castle except Castle's a premium player. He's not like a bench player like Brandon Weeden.
Right.
Wide receivers have not lived up to it with Dez out, with Terrence Williams, Nicole Beasley. Both of those guys, you throw them in your lineup, cross your fingers. Really, any Cowboy player you put in your lineup, cross your fingers.
Yeah, there's nothing there. I mean, I guess Witten, Castle will probably rely on Witten more, so Witten, again. You know, the tight end position in general, Corey, as bad as it was early in the season, is really starting to come around now with the Gates and, Barnridge and, you know, there's a lot of decent tight ends now coming along. Julius
exactly.
Thomas back.
Witten is one of the most
targeted
tight ends in the league. Through 6 weeks, he's racking up targets. He may be more targeted than Gronk through 6 weeks, Witten.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. And, that's because look at who they else they're going to throw to. Terrence Williams is a bum. Terrence Williams just doesn't get it done.
Terrence Williams is a better NFL player than he is a fantasy player. But Christine Michael, see, this is my thing with Christine Michael. He's like the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot. I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it. And I want to see it before I go blow $300-$400 in my fab budget to put this guy on my team. Who's been a preseason all-star? That's it.
I want to see it too. I think the stat is he's gotten one carry the last 2 weeks, and he's run for -1 yards on those two carries each week. So what are you buying into so much? It's the hype. I want to see it too. Look how bad people just got burned on Tre'Quan West for the Chiefs last week. Everybody, Corey, I couldn't believe the money I was seeing. Chikandrick West for $800-900 free agent dollars out of $1,000 across the high stakes industry in almost every league last year.
I seen the league, one of my leagues. He went for $989.
And now how do you think they slept? The owners slept all week long, knowing they blew their yearly money on a guy and saw that this past week. I mean, you can't be sitting good. You can't be feeling too good. This week after blowing all that money on this guy.
I would go back to Western DFS this week.
A guy that's never shown. Yeah, a guy that's never shown it before. And that's what you're seeing in Christine Michael, a guy that hasn't seen it before.
But speaking of West, though, I would go back to him in DFS this week.
Who,
not a
Michael?
Great amount of exposure? Chikandrick West. I would go back to him in DFS this week.
Corey, versus the Steelers. Steelers are a little better against the run than the pass, but you know what? A lot of people will be jumping off the ship, and it's a nice contrarian play. I'll give you that one, if it works out.
If it works out. If it's a split. If it wasn't split.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting ready for Sunday night, football night in America this week, Chris. The Philadelphia Eagles in Carolina to take on the Panthers. Superman Cam Newton, I tell you what, him and Greg Olsen just keep getting it done. Cam Newton, in one of my Roto Bowls, went in the 18th round. 20-round draft, Cam Newton went in the 18th, and he consistently, when he is healthy, is a top fantasy quarterback, and he's going to do it again this year. I'm going to have a lot of exposure to him in my DFS lineups this week. Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, that's all they need in Carolina, and that defense.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. And, you know, that's why he was around in the 18th round, because people looked at his receiving core and said, no, thank you. But, hey, Cam Newton, Phillip Rivers, you know, same thing. Those guys, they were drafted in the same area right there, the guys that really nobody wanted, high-end QB2 pretty much in 12-team leagues. And you got a steal. They're performing like QB1s now. Keep firing Cam Newton and Greg Olsen. Probably the most impressive win that I've seen so far through 6 weeks was this past weekend with Carolina going into Seattle and beating them. Everybody expected, all right, Carolina's undefeated going up to Seattle. They'll be getting their first loss this week. Guys came back. They played hard. That defense is legit. And, you know, what do you believe about Jonathan Stewart, Corey? You believe now in Jonathan Stewart, or – you still down on him?
It's so hard. It's so hard to put Jay Stewart in your fantasy lineup, but I tell you what, I think Jonathan Stewart is legit this week. He is legit this week. It took 4 years, but we finally had a situation where Jonathan Stewart looked like a good – well, he looked like a bad play last week, and he performed well. Like, I'm not trying to tap myself on the back, but – I was on Carolina last week. I was on Cam. I was on Olsen. And I had exposure to Jonathan Stewart, too. I had a feeling that they were going to go in there and pick them off. Through the first three quarters, I was like, man, I made a mistake. But then this team right here, this Carolina Panthers team, is a real sneaky Super Bowl contender in the NFC.
Corey, I tweeted it out after the game. Carolina is that team that nobody is going to want to see and play in January. If you're in the NFC, you want to avoid Carolina because they're just a tough, hard-nosed team that knows how to play, and they're bullies. That's what they are. They weren't scared to go with Seattle. They were fighting with these guys in Seattle, and they were getting up in their faces. Usually Seattle's the bully on defense, but these guys were up in their faces, and they're not scared of anybody. You don't want to see teams like that in January.
And you know what, Chris? The quarterback position in the NFL is so critical and important. You cannot – okay, first of all, if you don't have a good quarterback, you can forget about it, number one. Secondly, if you have a good quarterback and you're paying too much money for him, he hamstrings the rest of your roster. Look at Seattle.
Yep.
They had to deal off their top offensive lineman in order to pay Russell Wilson.
Right.
And now they're struggling. But they still let Russell walk. Look at the Saints. They had to deal off Jimmy Graham and a lot of their pieces. Because they got to pay Drew Brees. Look at Phil Rivers, big contract out in San Diego. They can't put nothing around him. Carolina got Cam and was able to piece it together. They didn't have to pay Greg Hardy, which was huge for them, and they've never spent money on a running back since God knows when.
Yeah.
so they just said, you know what, we got Kim, we're just going to roll him out there.
I think the only situation that always comes to my head when you're talking about this and that defies logic is the Patriots. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Brady makes a ton of money, and yet every year they're good on both sides of the ball. They have enough talent. They put it together. You know, they're still paying Gronk, and I don't know what Edelman makes, but it just works. Like, look at the Colts. Yeah, Luck is
where they
making
struggle
a, you know,
at, the years where they've struggled, it's in the back end of their defense. That's where they can't get it right at, and they don't have a downfield threat. That's where the Patriots, but for the most part, they want to be in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, and I thought, and I'll be honest, I thought the Patriots' defense this year, the secondary, would be a sieve, and that every year, every week, the Patriots would be getting thrown on like crazy. And it just hasn't happened. These guys, they're playing well. And I don't know if it's coaching. I'm sure a lot of it is because Belichick is one of the best. But, you know, you look at all these other teams like you mentioned, and they're all struggling because of they have to pay their quarterback. The Colts defense is terrible because they got to pay Luck, and on and on and on. You look at, you know, look at all these situations. The same.
No doubt. Now, speaking of a bad quarterback situation, Carolina's opponent this week, the Philadelphia Eagles, oh, my God. Yeah, they got the victory last week in the Meadowlands against the Giants, but that team did not deserve to win. Sam Bradford, two good weeks, and then he looks like Sam Bradford. And, kid, listen, put Mark Sanchez in the game so him and Jordan Matthews can get that thing going, get that mojo going that they had last year, because what they're doing now with Sam Bradford and this Riley Cooper character and everybody getting involved and Miles Austin, this is just – Philadelphia's offense is a head scratcher.
You sound speechless, and I'm speechless with you. I really don't know what to say anymore, Corey. I mean, it's been 6 weeks of me just scratching my head, and you know the second half of the last 2 weeks, you know when Bradford started getting going, and at the end of the day, you're looking up and Bradford's got about 30 fantasy points, and you're like, all right, this is what I'm looking for, you know. All he is all year long is a quarterback with two good halves of football, you know, and he was so primed. I'll tell you right now, every daily fantasy lineup I made this past week was with Sam Bradford in at quarterback. The price was great. The matchup was unbelievable. You know, it all, the Giants were missing, you know, Amukamara, one of their top corners. Everything was there. This guy is just a bad quarterback. That's really all I could say. I watched him on Monday, and I overthrowing people, underthrowing, wide-open receivers, throwing interceptions. He's just a bad quarterback. That's it. Not a smart quarterback. Can't run. Just takes terrible sacks. I mean, can't throw the ball away when he needs it. Just a bad quarterback. That's really all there is. But the best thing this team could do is smarten up and turn it over to Sanchez and at least salvage the season. Bradford's not the answer. I was wrong on him. I'll admit it. But you know what? Everyone else, a lot of other high-stakes players, they have to admit it also because I think on the day of those drafts, nobody could get their hands on Bradford quick enough across the whole industry. It was amazing.
I remember being there for the Super, and Sam Bradford goes off the board as a top five quarterback.
Absolutely. He went the fifth quarterback off the board. I feel bad for that. I know the guy that took him. I feel bad for him. not too bad, but, you know, got stuck with him in that league. But it's tough, Corey. You know, we all believed in the system, the Chip Kelly, you know, fast-paced system, more plays, more yards, more everything, quick. And guy's been a bust, and I don't see him turning it around, Corey, at all. I'd be shocked if he did.
Last game of the weekend, Monday Night Football, the Baltimore Ravens travel west to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. 47.5 is the point total, ninth high point total. That's 28 on Arizona's side, 20 on the Ravens' side. And Arizona and Carson Palmer will have some of my love this week in DFS competitions. How are you feeling about Michael Floyd and this performance from Michael Floyd last week? Is it time for fantasy owners to trust Michael Floyd again? Because you talk about disappointment. What Michael Floyd did to fantasy owners last year, Chris, was criminal.
Oh, man. Yeah, Michael Floyd pretty much, you know, was pulling a Mike Evans, you know, last year from this year. Just no-showed it. But, you know what, he's still the third wheel in this offense. John Brown with a monster game last week, you know. Tough, Corey. You know, Floyd was droppable pretty much in a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
I mean, you can't really feel confident starting him, you know, because he's the third option. But Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown continue to get it done week in and week out. I'd start the two of them confidently. It's a great matchup. The Ravens would get torn up through the air. Palmer, Fitzgerald, John Brown, I'd start them up. Great stack in Daly also, Corey. You know, those three combo this week.
No doubt. Agree with you 100% on that, and I will have some exposure to them. On the Baltimore side of the football, Chris, before we wrap it up, I really don't see I don't see where this projected 20 points is going to come from on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They just seem to keep figuring out a way to they find a way to get it done, the Ravens, even though they're not the team they used to be, another team that's paying a quarterback big money.
Yep.
And here you have it where it's Joe Flacco and Steve Smith.
It is. And man, oh, man, Steve Smith came back. Even though he came back last week, I was telling people, oh, don't play him. I mean, how can you play him? Steve Smith on Friday said, no, I'm not playing on Sunday. Then he wound up playing. So he was a 4 o'clock start, so a lot of people missed out on him actually playing. And then when he did come back, even, you know, he's playing with broken bones in his back. It's like, how can you trust this guy? He puts up another monster game. The guy just defies logic. Let's put it that way. He's an amazing wide receiver in real-life fantasy, real-life football and fantasy football. Say this, though, Corey. I wouldn't go near him this week in Daly, and I wouldn't touch any Ravens this week. And the reason why, you got to figure Patrick Peterson, who's shutting pretty much everyone down, he's playing unbelievable this year so far, is going to be, you know, put on Steve Smith, told to follow Steve Smith around all day long. I would expect his numbers to be, you know, pedestrian this upcoming week.
And I agree with you on that. I was just going to mention the Patrick Peterson factor this week, kind of take Steve Smith off my DFS radar, of course, and the season-long competition. You probably don't have much better options than Steve Smith Sr.
Right.
What do you think about Crockett, the Rockets? He should get back in action this week. They got to throw the ball to somebody.
Yeah, someone's got to catch the ball. I mean, whether it be him or Kamar Aiken. Yeah, I mean, it's an ugly offense, Corey. Let's face facts. This is an offense you really want no part of, you know. Forsett will probably struggle to run the ball, you know, in Arizona on Monday Night Football. But, you know, these are all guys that the matchups aren't good, but you probably still got to roll them out there. So I wouldn't be comfortable starting Crockett Gilmore, Corey.
No, trust me. It's not that I would either. Getting ready to wrap up the latest edition of The Takeover. Thanks for joining us for Week 7, of course. Thanks for downloading us and rocking us with us each and every week. For NFFC Hall of Famer Chris McCarroll, I'm the fantasy executive Corey Fawcett. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at the fantasy exec. Catch Chris at Chris McCarroll GST. We'll be right back with you next Wednesday night.